The reading is taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. Good news, a great joy. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men who on whom his favour rests."
Going to look at a couple of the verses from the reading that we had earlier. You'll see printed out on the little sheet, so you'll need that sheet in front of you. But before we look at those verses, let's pray and let's ask for the Lord's help to understand these words. Our Father, as we look at verses from the Bible that we've heard read so many times, we pray that you would please speak to us afresh from them. And if perhaps in our hearts we've grown cool towards the events of that first Christmas, please show us something about the Lord Jesus that would warm our hearts and remind us again of why you are a God worth celebrating. Amen. How are we for our screen? Where's Ellie? It's there. Brilliant. Okay, hands up, who's going to be celebrating Christmas this year? Okay. The sad news is that many people in this country won't, in fact, be celebrating Christmas this year. You see, many people have crossed the Christ out of Christmas, and so what they will be celebrating is, in fact, not Christmas, but Xmas. I say celebrating, but Xmas is not really a celebration. It's more of an obligation. It's something you have to do. Why don't we just pause for a moment and let everyone find their seats and get comfortable again? Where were we? Oh, we're talking about Xmas. Xmas not being something you really celebrate, because Xmas is more of an obligation than a celebration. Xmas is something you have to do. So Xmas, you have to send cards to everyone you can think of. And you get them all posted off and you go home pleased with yourself, only to find lying on your doormat a card from someone who was not on your list. Which means you have to go out into the snow again and buy a card and do it quickly before the last post. At Xmas, it's not just that you buy presents you can't afford for people who don't even need them. They reckon there are going to be £1.2 billion worth of unwanted presents thrown away this year. It's not just that, not just presents that you can't afford for people who don't need them, but you have to give presents which at any other time of the year you would never dream of giving to anyone. A pair of Santa socks. Lego cufflinks. And can anyone guess the thing on the end there? Bath salts, bath bomb. But what? A Christmas pudding bath bomb. I mean, how confusing is that? Do you eat it? Do you wash? What do you do? And at Xmas, you have to eat. You have to eat more food than you really want to eat. And if we're honest, the food you have to eat isn't the food you would necessarily choose to eat. I mean, if you're going to lay on a really special treat, it's not obvious that the food you would go for would be Brussels sprouts. I mean, who here is really looking forward to Brussels sprouts? Yeah, one or two. It's a kind of mark of maturity. Over the years, you get kind of hardened to them. People pretend to like Christmas pudding, don't they? They make a big fuss of it. We all know secretly we much prefer an apple crumble. It's just that Brussels sprouts and Christmas pudding is all part of what we have to do for Xmas. At Xmas, you have to eat too much. You have to drink too much because, and in the end of the day, because nobody feels much like talking, you have to collapse in front of the telly with the whole of your extended family, and you have to watch the Strictly Come Dancing Christmas special. And one by one, people drift home at the end of the day. And when they've all gone, Xmas leaves you feeling just a little flat. All that build-up, for what? It's like you've held a party, but you can't remember why. What were we celebrating? There's very little joy in Xmas. It's not really something to celebrate. But Christmas, totally different. Totally different. And the difference between Xmas and Christmas is Christ. Christ is the reason we have this party. Did you catch the message of the angels? The birth of Christ is good news of great joy. Here's something to celebrate, they say. And this afternoon, I just want to look at the words of one of the very first Christmas carols ever sung by the angels. And we'll see again why the birth of Christ gives us something to celebrate. Now, you'll need to have your party blowers ready. Is there anyone feeling a little bit as though they've missed out? They've not got a party blower. Okay, some of my party blower monitors. Can I just throw a party blower out there? I'll need one for myself. Anyone need some that way? We'll need party blowers right at the back. Okay, now, whenever I mention that we try everything once at Emmanuel, whenever I mention the word celebrate, I want you just to blow the blower to remind us that Christmas is something to celebrate. Practice blow and then stop. We try everything once. Okay, so we blow and then stop. Brilliant. Blow and then stop. Look at what the angels sing. Look at the last couple of lines on the sheet. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. So there were the shepherds, you know, washing their socks by night, and a whole host of angels appeared to them. And before all this talk of angels makes us think, yeah, it's just another fairy story, it's just worth remembering that Luke, who writes this, is not soft in the head. He's a doctor, and he's a very good historian. He doesn't start his book, once upon a time when there were dragons in the land. He starts his book in a way that chimes in with how ancient historians would have started their books. He gives his reasons for writing. He declares his sources. He says this, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. And again, archaeologists show Luke to have been spot on in all the details of history that he records. In other words, these events, the events we're reading about, they're not set in Narnia or Middle Earth or Hogwarts. Luke underlines the fact that these are real events that happened at a real time when Augustus was Caesar in a real place, Bethlehem, just south of Jerusalem. And in this moment of history, Luke says that the God who's in charge over all history steps into it. That he was born as a baby, wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And when he did that, the angels of heaven saw that here was reason to celebrate. And stop. And the song they sing is, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Giving glory to God is about praising him because he's brilliant. Are there any Manchester United fans here this afternoon? Okay, well, let's say you're welcome. You're welcome. When people sing Glory, Glory, Man United, they are praising Man United for being brilliant. And if someone said, what is the evidence that Man United are brilliant? I guess the fans would say, look at our players. Look at Rooney. Look at Berbatov. Look at Nani. And I talk to many people who think that there might be a God, but they find it hard to get excited about him. They don't celebrate him. And stop. What they do is they say, well, there might be a God, but they look at the world we live in and they say, well, where's the evidence that he is brilliant? And if you're looking for evidence that God is brilliant, the angels say, look at Jesus. That baby born in that stable, he is the evidence that God is brilliant. He is the reason that God is worth praising. He is why we celebrate Christmas. But we think, why is this baby a reason that God is worth praising? Listen to the angel's song. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men. On whom his favor rests. Jesus shows us that God is worth praising because through Jesus, God has come to give us peace. Did you catch it? That's something to celebrate, isn't it? You say, hold on, hold on, hold on. Don't you watch the news? Don't you watch the news? If he's come to bring us peace, he's not done a very good job, has he? Just think of all the countries torn apart by war. But it's not the war between nation and nation that the angels are thinking about. Those sorts of wars are just the symptoms of a much deeper war. The reason men and women are at war with one another is because men and women are at war with God. Look at these two chairs behind me. We were created to live at peace with God. God facing us and we facing him. And God says to us, I am the reason you are on this planet. I created you so you could enjoy my love. So will you love me with all your heart? Will you follow my ways? And we said, no. It's like we turned our backs on God. And when we say no to God, what we're saying is, I don't want to go God's way. I don't want to go God's way. I'm going to go my way. So instead of us all going God's way together, I want to go my way and you want to go your way. So whose way do we go? So we fight for it. And it's not just bombs in Basra. It's with words over the washing up. I want my way. You want your way. That's why we clash over which film to watch on Boxing Day. It's why the relationship service Relate sees calls going up by 50% over the Christmas period. It's why one in three families, they reckon, will have a major row. The reason we are all at war with one another is because we've all said no to God. And that meant God has had to say no to us. There's no place for people like us in his kingdom because we would spoil it. His kingdom is a place of peace, not a place of war. But that's what our war has done. But God loves us, and so the story of the Bible is the story of his plan to end the war. And the reason the angels celebrate... oh, nearly slipped it by you. The reason the angels rejoice at the birth of Jesus is because Jesus is the climax of God's plan to end the war. Through Jesus, God says yes to us again. And through Jesus, we can say yes to God again. Jesus has come to turn things round from war to peace. And I guess many of us will know the war that rages in our hearts. The battle in our minds that keeps us awake at night as we churn things over. The things we wish we could undo. The things that we said that we wish we could unsay. If only we could put things right. And that is a longing for peace. And the angels say, here it is. Here is the peace that we long for. At that first Christmas, Jesus came to put an end to the war. He came to put things right. He came to restore us to the reason we're on the planet, back to a face-to-face relationship with the God who made us. Peace at last. And peace with God is the beginning of peace with men and women. Because instead of, I want my way, and you want your way, through Jesus, we both want God's way. So because he forgives us, we can forgive one another. Because he has filled our hearts with love, we can love one another. Because he accepts us, we can accept one another. You say, well, how can a little baby do that? Bring us peace with God and one another. Strange thing is, down all the ages, on the day that Christians celebrate the birth... Some of you are awake. On the day that Christians mark his birth, they mark it by breaking bread and drinking wine. They mark his birth by remembering his death. Strange, isn't it? But that's because this baby was born to die. The Bible says it's by his death that he brought us peace. And that's why Jesus is the reason God is worth praising. How many Christmases has anyone had? Has anyone had 5 Christmases? Okay, anyone had 6 Christmases? Anyone had 10 Christmases? Anyone more? Anyone had 15 Christmases? Anyone had as many as 40 Christmases? But listen, if you've had 40 Christmases or more, but you've never really seen Christmas as something to celebrate, it could be that you've never seen the reason why Jesus is the one who makes God worth praising. So this Christmas, wouldn't it be a great Christmas to look again at Jesus? Not to leave him lying away in a manger, but look at what he did. Look at what he said. Look at why he died. Look at how he rose again. Look at him and see why God is so brilliant. When you look at Jesus, you see that God is not a faraway sort of God who doesn't care about us. He's a God who loves us so much, he's prepared to step into the battlefield and lay down his life. Why? Because he wanted to end the war and give us peace. When a war is over, what do people do? They hug each other, they put out bunting, they wave flags, they hold parties, they celebrate. Because the war is over. Relief. Joy. There's not much joy in Xmas. There's not much joy in Xmas because Christmas without Christ is liable to become a million different battlefields and a million different homes. The war drags on. There's not much joy in Xmas. But Christmas, totally different. Maybe you don't feel... You have much to rejoice in this Christmas. But the angels say you do. You do. Because Christmas means the war is over. You have peace through Jesus with the God who made you. You're forgiven and accepted and loved by him. And that is not a pair of Santa socks or a Christmas pudding bath salt bomb. It is the most precious gift you could ever be given. It's a gift you'll never grow out of. It's a gift that'll never break. You can't be fired from it. It won't end in divorce, and even death can't snatch it away. It's a gift that means whoever you are, whatever you have done, whatever has happened to you, you have this Christmas something to celebrate. and stop. I'm going to say a final prayer. As we sit, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your love you gave us your Son. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that in your love you came to be born, to grow up, and then to die, to give us peace. And we pray that by your Spirit you would make that peace real in each of our lives. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing again. Do you see the last verse we're going to sing of this song is the very song the angels sang. All glory be to God on high. Praise him because he's brilliant. And to the earth be peace. Let's stand to sing. Just before a final prayer, I'd just love to slip in one or two notices. I think the first thing to say is, at Emmanuel, we normally, after the talk, have a chance to sort of, for people to ask questions from the floor. It didn't quite seem the right thing to do today, but we do want people to know that they are free to ask their questions. So if there's anything that I've said that you'd just like to pick me up on, do come and find me over tea. I'd love to chat some more. And I've got a copy of a little book here that I wrote. I wrote it for sort of cynical friends and family. If you'd like to read it, I would love to give you a copy. There's some more on the back there. Do take them. If that would just help you think more about some of these really important things. And there are also some leaflets on the table there for a whole range, for young and old. You'll see on the notice sheet there, Christmas morning, 10:30, we meet here. We'd love you to join us for that. And then over the page, looking even further ahead, the Jesus question. It may be that thinking about Christmas has raised all kinds of questions for you. And I often talk to people who say, well, you know, it sounds lovely and I kind of wish it were true, but did it really happen? Really? Well, January the 30th, short talk, looking into the kinds of questions people want to get to the bottom of. Did he even exist? Did he really claim to be God? Can we really take seriously the idea that he rose from the dead? Short talk, and then plenty of time to ask further questions. Be here, same sort of time, 3:45 to 4 on a Sunday afternoon. Love to see you at that. Do pick up a little card like this on your way out. Otherwise, why not just join us for one of our regular services on a Sunday afternoon? We say on our sort of, you know, publicity, we're a church for people who don't go to church. What we do is we're pretty traditional. We're not kind of trendy or anything like that. But we are quite informal. And we want to make sure there is space for people to ask their questions. We want people to know that they're allowed to be honest about the issues they may well be wrestling with. None of us has this all taped. So wherever you're coming from, you'd be very, very welcome to join us on a Sunday afternoon. For today, do please stay on for tea. I think there's loads of it out there. Before that, let me just close with a final prayer. Go in peace. May the wisdom of the wonderful Counselor guide you. The strength of mighty God defend you. The love of the everlasting Father enfold you, and may the peace of the Prince of Peace be upon you. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you all this night and forevermore. Amen.